today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, free Wi-Fi is coming to Southwest Airlines. We'll tell you how to get it. Spirit is in bankruptcy for the second time this year, and Frontier proves airlines make no money off airfares. Those stories and more next in the news.
We have a twofer in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22. Lithium batteries on the plane and cleaning your luggage are today's topics.
Chris Elliott is one of the premier consumer advocates for travelers. He joins us from France at 11:35 to talk about the best and worst of Paris and how to tackle the topic of AI in airfares. Can the airlines really make you pay more?
As we feared, a set of consumer-friendly rules regarding the airlines has been rejected by the Trump administration. It pertains to flight delays and cancellations. We'll update you at 11:55.
Welcome to the only travel show designed to make you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, live on your radio. Don't forget now, travelguysradio.com. It's a link to all the stuff to make you a smarter traveler. And any hot breaking news from the Travel Guys, I might point out.
Exactly. I got a text this morning from a friend of mine who went down to Las Vegas. You know, you were down there a few weeks ago. And he says that he's involved. He knows somebody who's involved with getting the Wizard of Oz on the screen at the Sphere. You know, this is going to be quite the.
Oh yeah.
And he said, I sent you this text because I know you'd have no love for Las Vegas. He said, and I know you don't go there if you can possibly avoid it. But he says, I also know that you like the Wizard of Oz. He says you need to make a date to go see this. Because he said this is going to be spectacular. He said this is not going to be about theater. This is going to be, they always talk about it being the experience. He said this is going to be the experience. If it doesn't blow up on him, he said this is going to be the experience. Because so if you're a Wizard of Oz person,
Did he give you any details?
No, he just said that he had dinner the night before with a couple of guys who were working on the project, and they couldn't stop talking about it. And about how the technology and stuff is, while some of it is kind of cutting edge, they're real confident that they've done some testing and stuff already. So they know that it's apparently going to work. And for those of you who don't know, we talked a couple weeks ago about how the Wizard of Oz is going to be shown in the Sphere in Las Vegas. You know, it's kind of theater in the round sort of thing, and it's supposed to be quite spectacular. So anyway, that was an unsolicited review of something that you can't see quite yet, but you will be able to very soon.
No, it's up and running.
Oh, okay, so they're all done testing then.
Yeah, you can buy tickets now. I've seen some posts that people have posted about the show, and here again they've to make it more real and add a special elements to it, there is odor. You can smell the dust when the tornadoes coming through, and when they're out running through the flowers, flower petals will come falling from the sky. There is snow during the show. If you recall, there's that scene where, Dorothy is falling asleep, and then the snow comes, and watch out for the flying monkeys.
Okay, well, you just do the rest of the show by yourself here. I'm going to go get a ticket to Vegas, and I'll see you next time.
Come back here. Because it's that time. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do something kind of important and serious. We bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with the travel news update, once again, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
I'll put on my serious hat here for just a minute.
Okay.
Hey, we talked about 70% of the people, not quite 70, but pretty close to 70% of the people who fly in and out of Sacramento fly on Southwest Airlines. They dominate the landscape here because they have a lot of city-to-city stuff. You know, you can fly to places like Eugene and Santa Barbara and places that you never could fly to, Palm Springs, nonstop. Used to be, if you want to go to Palm Springs, it was a 4.5-hour ordeal because you had to go to law. Or you flew to Ontario and rented a car and drove over. And now, twice a day, you can fly nonstop. Anyway, enough of the Southwest commercial. They are planning free Wi-Fi for Rapid Rewards members as of October the 24th. So you've got a little over a month to wait for this. Southwest will begin offering unlimited free Wi-Fi for all Rapid Rewards members in partnership with T-Mobile. With more than 800 domestic aircraft, Southwest will be the largest airline to implement free Wi-Fi on every flight this year. So, which poses a question. You got, let's call it 150 seats on an airplane. And some a little more, some Southwest planes a little more, some a little less. So, let's say, what if 100 of those people all try to log on to the internet at the same time? Is the bandwidth in the sky going to support that?
I don't know.
I'm just asking the question because that might be the next headline that we have here. But anyway, Southwest is getting a step up on the other guys. All you have to do is be a Rapid Rewards member. So if you fly Southwest Airlines with any regularity, I can't imagine that you're not one already. But that will be your ticket to free Wi-Fi and not having to pay $8 or $10 a flight or whatever it is, as long as it holds up. Passport stamps. You know, I know a lot of old-time travelers who really like that they like to take out their passport, and it's a bragging sort of thing. It's bragging rights. Mm-hmm. You got all these stamps from all these different countries, and usually the date is on there. So it almost becomes a memory book for travelers. That's all going away for people who collect passport stamps. In some cases, some countries will still give you a passport stamp if you ask for one, but in most cases, it's electronic, and so there's nothing, they don't enter anything in your passport per se.
Oh, that's no fun.
Something that's kind of changing, yeah. The death of the passport souvenirs. Hey, Hawaii had this idea that, you know, if you're on a cruise ship and you're staying in port overnight in Hawaii, that in essence, you're staying in a hotel in Hawaii. And you ought to be paying the same taxes that people who are staying at the Royal Lahaina or, you know, any other hotel in the islands would be paying. So they wanted their share. And the cruise lines are suing them because the cruise lines say, wait. This 11% tax on cruise ships violates the Constitution and federal law, and they've got a whole list of things. And, of course, Hawaii is saying, no. This is a state issue. This has nothing to do with. So we'll see how this plays out. But it's kind of interesting because if Hawaii is able to do this, you can probably look for other states to do the same thing.
Now, would the difference be if you're docked physically at a slip or a port right there on the islands versus being a mile out where you boat everybody in. So if you're out on international waters, they can't ring you up. But if you decide to, you know, connect to the dock, then you're part of the land.
On that mile out, you're still, I think, considered to be in the waters of wherever it is that you are. I knew you were going to ask this question. I knew it when I saw this story and I put it in the news. I knew that was going to be the question you asked. So this morning I dug around and tried to find out some information on that. But no, because you can use what you're talking about is when you're using a tender, a smaller yes. boat to get into to land. And I can't find anything that says where this would extend to. But my guess is that you're under maritime law. When you're in the port like that, even if you're tendering in, you're still considered to be in the port. So my guess is that would still apply. But then to that extent, why not just lift up your anchor and be, you know, wherever? If you have to be 5 miles from land, then you get 5 miles from land. And but see, what they're talking about here is overnight stays. So you're going to some port and you're going to be there for, you know, the ship's going to pull in the morning on Tuesday. You're going to have all day Tuesday to do things, and then you're going to spend the night there, and then you're going to have all day Wednesday, and then you're going to move on. So that would be kind of an inconvenience, I'm guessing, for the cruise ships. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. Have you ever been to Austin's airport? I know you have.
Austin, Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, no, no, you I have haven't. I thought there. I have family that flies out of there. My granddaughters live in Austin, and they come to visit 4 or 5 times a year, and they fly out of Austin and return. I've often thought about that because there is a nonstop on Southwest to Austin, but I haven't. What about it?
Austin's airport is about to undergo an $800 million expansion to double their capacity.
Wow.
Southwest and Delta have been having a little bit of a pissing contest here about who gets how many gates and who considers the airport to be a hub or a focus city or whatever. And so American tried to ramp up there, and it didn't really work out well for them. Southwest has been the biggest tenant there for a long time, and they hope to anchor the new concourse. The airport is seeing a strong demand for flights, so this would give them 20 new gates to Austin. Spirit Airlines has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy again, second time this year. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know what I think about Spirit Airlines, and that is that I don't think they're going to be in business too much longer. I've been saying this for several months. So if you buy a ticket on Spirit Airlines, I wish you well. As I've said before, if you're traveling Tuesday, then you're probably okay. If you're traveling, you know, in February, then you might want to check and see what DraftKings has for odds on the airline still being in business come around then. Spirit says, oh, we have plenty of money and we're going to make it, except they have tapped into their cash reserve and they have tapped all of it. So that's – and they're also starting to cut routes. This looks real familiar if you want to see how an airline fails. This seems to be it. The other airlines are starting to line up now with the people who lease Spirit's aircraft and say, hey, you know, if anything happens and they're not there, why, keep us in mind, because we might like to use those airplanes that Spirit's not using. Speaking in the world of low-cost, ultra-low-cost carriers, Frontier Airlines has a all-you-can-fly pass. Normally, this sells for about $600. For a limited time, you can get it for $299. It allows you to book a flight anywhere. It does come with some caveats, though. And the caveat, the biggest caveat is you can't book until one day before domestic travel or 10 days ahead of international travel. So if you purchase this pass for $299, if you're somebody who has the freedom to be able to go wherever you want, whenever you want, then this could be a huge, great thing for you if you can tolerate flying on Frontier. Now, remember, you're still going to have to buy a seat, and you're going to have to pay taxes and fees and baggage fees and all that kind of stuff. So this is not going to be completely free, and that's the reason in the headlines I mentioned that Frontier Airlines is proving that they don't make any money off of airfares, because by telling you that for $299 with short notice you can take a seat that would probably otherwise go unsold, but they know that they'll collect fees from you for your baggage and for selecting a seat. And, of course, the government taxes and stuff you have to pay. So Frontier is kind of proving that really the profit in airfares comes from the auxiliary items that airlines are able to stick you with. So this is why the basic fares that Frontier and Spirit had and that other airlines have copied, you know, that's where, yep, you can get on the plane, you get on last, you don't get an assigned seat until the very last minute. So you have no control over, you're probably going to sit in a middle seat. You can't put anything in the overhead. You can only put something under your seat. But if you can meet those criteria, it's a good way to fly. So what Frontier is basically saying is that if you can meet that criteria and not know where you're going until the day before, we would love to have you on our airplanes. And for only $300 for an entire year. So like I said, if you're an adventurous person and you can put up with marginal service, you've been flying for a while, you're probably used to marginal service.
While I have your attention, let me remind you that Rudy's Hideaway isn't just a place for dinner. It's a great place for happy hour and lunch. Went by Rudy's yesterday about 3:30. Took advantage of their filet mignon tacos. You can get 2 filet mignon street tacos for $6. Check this one out. This one might be for you, Mark. How would you like clam chowder fries? Crispy fries topped with their famous Boston clam chowder, shredded cheese, bacon, and green onion. So
you'll have to do the rest of the show by yourself. I'll see you. I'm going to. That sounds yummy.
That's their happy hour. It is Tuesday through Friday, 3 to 5. And not only that, if you want to do lunch at Rudy's, they've got a great menu too. But don't just think of Rudy's as a place to go for an evening date. It is a great place just to pop in and have yourself an hors d'oeuvre, a beverage, and sit and visit with friends. We had a great time chatting and meeting new people yesterday. And the thing about Rudy's is, you know, you've been to a restaurant and it seems like every time you go there, your favorite waitress or waiter has gone. They're not there. You never hear from them again. At Rudy's, your favorite people are there week in, week out, year in and year out. They become like family. So count on Rudy's for everything you want, from lunch, for dinner, for happy hours, and for friends. Rudy's Hideaway. Yeah.
They work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're waiting for you to show up right now. That is the most amazing. If you listen to the program for a while, you know I'm kind of fond of the clam chowder at Rudy's. And I'm also a French fry connoisseur. So, you know, if you were to put French fries and the Boston clam chowder from Rudy's, now to some people that might seem a little weird, but to me, that sounds like, that's like biscuits and gravy.
pretty much.
Yum. Well, yum.
Yeah, all right. Well, you got a date. Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. All right, let's see here. Where were we, Mark? We got
Smarter traveler stuff here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about lithium batteries and cleaning your luggage. With lithium batteries, but
well, no, exactly. So the lithium battery thing is the most important thing here. For the last couple of years, flight attendants have been making announcements, and I thought it was a little weird when they first made it. You know, if your phone or your other device falls under your seat, don't try to move your seat and get it out yourself. Call a flight attendant and let us help you. And it's like, well, why would I need your help to do that? Well, it's because of all these incidents, and several of them have involved people moving a seat, and it moves it over the top of the device and then causes the lithium battery to go haywire. They've had over 36 of these on passenger flights. They've had some on freight runs also. But basically what it amounts to is the lithium-ion battery is... it's overheating, and in some cases, this is happening because people are using unauthorized charging devices to put to add juice to their stuff, and that's causing the devices to overheat. I have one of those myself that I've stopped using because I've noticed it causes my phone to get very hot when it's charging. So that might be a clue if you're using a charging device and you pick your phone up and you're like, oh wow, man, my phone is really hot. That's a sign that that device is something that may cause your phone. And this might not just happen on an airplane. This could happen in your house or in your office, probably not in your pocket. But nonetheless, it does add some context to those announcements that the flight attendants have been making and the importance of paying attention to them. Because what happens if one of these situations happens, then the flight has to divert. And heaven forbid, most of the instances have involved phones or other devices smoking, but a couple of them have caught on fire. So it's you know, it's not like your plane's going to go down tomorrow, but it's just something that a smart traveler, you know, if you're plugging in your device and it's charging while you're on the aircraft, you know, put it someplace, lay it on the seat next to you so that if the phone gets real hot all of a sudden, you're like, oh, wow, something is wrong here. Use only authorized charging devices. Also, those charging pads and the little sticks that you plug them in and charge them and get them juice and then use them to charge your device, those are part of the problem also. So just be careful. You don't want to be the person who caused the aircraft to have to make a 2-hour, 3-hour, 4-hour diversion because you weren't paying attention. So it's really important, and it tells you those announcements the flight attendants are making are not without reason. I mean, they have a purpose for saying those things, and so that's the part that you need to pay attention to. Now that you've been told on the radio, you can ignore the flight attendant the rest of the time, but just make sure that, and really and truly, if you've got an Apple phone, you want an Apple device. If you've got, you know, whatever, a Samsung phone, then you want a Samsung device, the device that was designed to be charged with that item. Use those other ones when you're not on an airplane with 150 people, one of which might be me. Here's another thing. I thought this was really, really cool. I never thought of it, but I'm going to do it. It's like cleaning your suitcase. Why clean your suitcase? Your suitcase is a hot spot for bacteria and can even carry harmful pathogens back home. Plus, helping it keep clean helps it last longer and stay fresh for your next adventure. So they're talking about inside and outside both.
Yeah, I have a my bride. Whenever we travel, the suitcases do not come in the house. They'll be out in the garage, and then maybe they'll go to the backyard and sit there for a day or so. And then they've got to be thoroughly sanitized. Yeah, bed bugs, I mean, it's not like the old days when you had those Samsonite luggage that was all plastic. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of cloth material, and a lot of stuff can get on it. Maybe not from your hotel room, but just by being on another.
Well, and the inside luggage. Of your bag is one thing, but the outside of your bag, I mean, look. And where it, I mean, it's when I started thinking about that, I'm like, and duh, I wheel that into my house. And then I lay it on its side on the carpet and open up the other side and lay it on its side and take all of the stuff out. And meanwhile, anything that it's picked up along the way is now attached to the carpet. So, yep. And the inside of the suitcase, you know, I've got suitcases I've owned for 10 or 15 years. I've never cleaned the inside. So, good point. Also, they make the point to take everything out of your suitcases because, you know, you leave a few things in there and you close it. You may have left a snack or something like that, and it's going to cause some issues along the way. You know, it says a little vinegar and water spray can work wonders. Let your suitcase dry completely before storing. But I thought that was a pretty good tip, especially I have, just like your wife, I have a couple of, let's say, friends who are not fond of germs. And so this is something that they would probably take advantage of. Cleaning your suitcase once in a while. A tip from the travel guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Hey, if you are a mature traveler and you are looking for a travel company, Sports Leisure Vacations might be your place. Our tour preview day is coming up 2 weeks from today on Saturday the 20th at the Sophia Theater downtown. There are morning and afternoon sessions. There are still seats available for the afternoon. Admission is $10. Our catalog is rolled out that day, and you will see all kinds of wonderful trips literally all over the planet. There's a $10 charge. You do need a reservation to attend. All of the admissions are given to charity that day. So if you would like to come out and support some folks in the community, find out a little bit about travel and about a 46-year-old travel company that has only had one owner right here in Sacramento, we invite you to Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day on Saturday, the 20th of September. You can get more information at sportsleisure.com.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Time to go across multiple ponds, as we always do, and catch up with consumer advocate and friend of the Travel Guys, Christopher Elliott. Welcome back to the program, Chris.
Mark and Tom, how are you guys doing?
We are doing well. You are still in Paris, right? You told us the last time we talked you were headed for Paris, and then it looked like I was following you, and you took a trip down to Greece, perhaps, but now you're back in Paris. Is that, am I following along well at home?
Yeah, no, it gets confusing. I am in Paris now, and we're here for another week, and then we're off to our next destination, so yeah.
Okay, you still have two sons in tow?
I still do, yes.
Okay, well, I'm just checking. I mean, you know, you could lose them along the way or something like that. And so tell me,
before
we get on to way more pressing issues here about making people a smarter traveler, tell us a little bit about Paris. I've never been there. You know, what's the best part of Paris for an American traveler, and maybe what's the outside?
Hang on. You've never been to Paris?
I've never
been. Are you serious?
I'm not an international guy. I've been to Europe a couple times, and both times I got pretty deathly ill, and my body says whenever I say let's go to Paris, my body says that's not happening.
Well, you have to understand, Christopher, that it's all about the food, and Mark, he's not much on anything that's not domestic food, and you know,
yeah. I'm from the Midwest, so you know, if it doesn't have meat or potatoes on the plate, then really and truly, what's the point?
Paris is a big food city, so
it is.
Like meat and potatoes, they will serve you meat and potatoes here.
And I am just I am a food chicken. I don't deny it. I got into some situations when I was first doing this and that didn't turn out well. And so, you know, now I'm looking for my pork chops and my hash browns. And, you know, I mean, you have to eat some green stuff every once in a while and fresh fruit and stuff. But anyways, enough about my personal life. Back to my original question there before I amazed you to death. Best and worst things in Paris for a visitor.
Well, the best, the craziest thing that I saw was we were walking along the Seine. So we had a little place in the 4th arrondissement, just really close to downtown. And we decided to take a walk along the Seine. This was just a week and a half ago. And there were people swimming in the river. And I have to tell you, the reason this is so remarkable is I grew up in Europe, and so we visited Paris from time to time. And I remember we wouldn't even get close to the river because it smelled so terrible. It was a toxic canal. And they have spent 1.5 billion euros to clean up the Seine. And there are Parisians swimming in the river. I couldn't believe what I saw.
Well, you remember, so like you had they thing. Had the Olympics there, and
yes.
They knew that there was going to be people racing in the river and boating, and it was a pretty big deal. So, you know, it's interesting what causes people to, you know, make that decision moving forward. So, but so it's not cleaned up then, huh?
It's they kept it clean. It wasn't just a publicity stunt. It's a matter of pride here. The Parisians want to go swimming in their river. They want everyone to know how clean it is. Personally, you know, it's a slow moving river. It's a little bit like, you know, the Mississippi, kind of got that murky, you know, you can't really see to the bottom, but people go in anyway, so okay, whatever. But it is, you know, we were talking about over-tourism before and about having just too many people in a small place. Paris in late August is filled with Americans, and they're going to all of the museums, and it feels like you're in New York or Chicago because everyone is speaking English. But the nice thing is that once August ends and everyone goes back after Labor Day, the Parisians take over, and it's becomes a very French city, and you are definitely in the minority. Right now, we have a place in the Latin Quarter right by the Sorbonne, and we are the only Americans here.
Wow. So it is very seasonal there. So it sounds to me like you're telling people this Paris is really a destination where shoulder season should come into play.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to be there with your friends and neighbors, come in August because that's where they're going. But if you want to have a more authentic Parisian experience, come in September or October or even in November, and you will have – it's a much more authentic and less frenzied experience.
Well, there you go.
Okay, worst part of Paris for visitors now or anything or something that just gets under your skin or – something to avoid?
Oh, it's expensive. I mean, you go to the restaurants and everything is just way overpriced. A shot of espresso for 4 or 5 euros, you're just going, are you kidding me? That's crazy. And of course, the exchange rate is not very favorable either right now. So it's not one-to-one like it was at the beginning of the year. So you're spending lots of money on and not getting very much for it.
Yeah, at $1.20 down, your takes $1.20 to buy a euro, whereas, like you said, Chris, at the beginning of the year, it was pretty much across the board. The what has happened politically in our country has discouraged international inbound visitors from coming here, and now who knows what impact that $250 fee is going to have for the countries that have to pay it. And for people who are going outbound, the weakness of the dollar is almost like a surcharge onto your bill, because now everything that you pay for, whether you pay for it in cash or credit card, local currency, whatever you do it, when you get back home and you total it all up, it will have cost you more, several hundred dollars more to go on vacation to someplace like Europe than it would have cost you last summer to do the same thing. So
people look at the airfares and say, wow, look, you know, I can get to Paris or I can get to London for, you know, $500 or whatever the round trip fare is, you know, $900. But then they don't do the calculations for the currency, and then they realize, you know, you realize only too late that the exchange rate is not very favorable, and then that more than makes up for the savings that you've you've realized. So you really have to watch your budget.
Any type of upscale hotel now, held a Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego on a group rate, is getting $475 a night. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff that gets added on to that and ends up being around $600 with taxes and historical preservation fees and all of that kind of stuff. So anyway, all right, let's talk a little bit about the subject of the day, Chris, if we can. We're talking with Chris Elliott on the Travel Guys here. We're going to shift a little bit away from talking a little bit about Paris to talking about AI and how it might there's lots of positive ways AI could impact your travels, but Chris is pointing out something in a recent communication that might be of concern to some people. It is to me, and that is how AI might cost you more money to buy travel products. Chris, can you explain?
Yeah, so several things. First of all, what we've seen with car rental companies is companies like Hertz that are using AI to take before and after pictures of your car, and then the AI is identifying the very smallest discrepancy between photos, even if it's just a shadow or a small ding, and charging people for it automatically. So no human even sees the bill. It just goes straight to you. And so that's something that has caused people a lot of real consternation. Then also, hotels have started using AI, which is really shocking. They're using smoke detectors, actually. And the smoke detectors are not the smartest things. They can't tell sometimes between cigarette smoke and smoke coming out of a hairdryer and even steam coming out of a shower. And those also have some automation elements to them so that they automatically will say, hey, they'll tell the front desk you've been smoking in your room. And then again, bills get automatically sent to you, sometimes as high as $400, $500 even if, you didn't smoke in your room. Well, I've been getting a lot of concerned emails from people saying, I don't smoke and I got a bill like this. What should I do? And then the third way that AI is being used is by airlines. Now, we all knew already that airlines were looking at your IP address and the browser that you're using and feeding you a fare that they thought that you would pay. So, for example, if you're on an expensive iPhone and you're in an exclusive neighborhood and the airline can see that through its website, it's more likely to give you a more expensive fare than if you're on a cheap Android phone and you're in a neighborhood that maybe is less affluent. And that's happening much more often. So people are getting very worried about how AI is being used, and they want to be able to fight back or at least know that this is happening. And it's becoming a big concern.
Well, now that you've told everybody that it's happening, Chris, and I think a lot of people will agree, some people that may have already been dinged by the ding. What's our fight back, buddy?
Okay. Well, on the car rental situation, just don't rent from Hertz until they've gotten this squared away. They really need
Ever.
To make some adjustments
Ever.
To their system.
Ever. Ever. Don't rent from Hertz ever. Sorry, that was a commentary
okay.
I put in there.
All right. I
did business with them for a lot of years. I'm done. I've moved on. I unless it's the last car in the lot and I have to get home tonight, I'm not ever renting from them again. So just buyer beware. Hertz is not a consumer friendly company, and if you do business with them, then good luck. Okay, sorry, the commercial's over now.
No, it's okay. I'm with you. Yeah, Hertz needs to get its act together, and until they do, don't rent from them. So on the hotel front, what I've been telling people is see if you can crack the window open or run the air conditioner. If you have to use the hairdryer, if it's overheating, stop it immediately because that can trigger the system. And if you think you've triggered the system, go down to the front desk and talk to them and say, hey, you know what? I think I may have triggered an alarm or my hairdryer overheated, and see if something has happened. They can check. But and don't wait until you've checked out, because they'll just send you a bill, and that's happened many times. People have gotten a bill. And then finally, for the airfares, you can still fight back with that by opening an incognito or anonymous tab and using a VPN, a virtual private network. Or you can even foil it by using a really cheap phone and setting your location to a really less affluent neighborhood, and then, you know, benefiting from the lower price that they're showing you. So you know, two can play the game. But whatever you do, don't sign in under your frequent flyer account. Let them know, because they immediately will know who you are, and they can determine them based on who you are. They can determine how much you're willing to pay. So don't give them that information.
Yep, you paid this before, so you would probably be willing to pay this again. And I've done a couple of what you've said, anonymous logins and the like. It's hard to say because airfares change so quickly. I have found some difference in fares between logging in anonymously and logging in on United, at least, or Southwest under my name. But it's hard to say whether those are, you know, did I just hit a fare change? They weren't a tremendous amount of money. But I can see if you're somebody who regularly buys upgraded seats on a plane and the airline's computer knows this, then that first class fare that might be $13.25 might be $14.25 for you. I guess that's sort of the point that we're making here, right?
That's exactly right. And yeah, even if it's just a couple of dollars more, I mean, what they're trying to do is ascertain whether you're willing to pay the extra money. And it might have to do with loyalty. You know, they might think, well, you know, you're already a loyalty program member, and you just want to, you're going to be brand loyal no matter what the price is. And they may figure that out. I mean, the thing about AI is it is so smart. It can run a complete profile on you, and it can, and they have very sophisticated algorithms that would predict what you'd be willing to pay based on how much you've paid in the past. And that's just, when you're dealing with that kind of technology, the only way that you can fight back is by refusing to give them any information about you at all.
Chris, before we let you go here, I wanted to give you just a minute. We frequently remind folks that you have a website and that part of it is paid and stuff like that. Do you have a quick little pitch that you could inform our listeners as to how they could participate in Elliott Confidential and some of the things that you do online?
You bet. So Elliott Confidential is my newsletter. It goes out a couple of times a week, and I cover the breaking news in travel on that newsletter. So I have a free version, and you can sign up for it. Just go to ElliottConfidential.com. There's also a paid version where you get a little bit more, and you get access to some breaking news, and we have a forum, and we have a Monday consumer alert that will help you have a better trip if you're going somewhere. Then I also have a free, completely free website called The Elliott Report, and we resolve cases on that site. And I have a database of executive contacts. So if you ever run into a problem with a company, you can go and maybe, you know, look up the CEO of an airline or of a hotel, and that's a completely free service. I also run a nonprofit organization called Elliott Advocacy. And if you go to Elliott Advocacy, that's 2L's and 2T's.org/help. If you have a consumer problem, any problem, not just travel, you can fill out the form there, and our team of advocates will get back to you, and we will do everything that we can. It's a completely free service. We'll do everything we can to help you. And if we can, we will even advocate for you for a refund or an apology or whatever is fair.
Thank you. Chris Elliott. We have links to Chris's websites. I will add another one there, Chris. So all Chris is talking about, travelguysradio.com, if you're traveling or driving around or something like that and you're thinking, wow, I can't get that all written down. Why? You can find it all at our website, and you can get it, become a part of the Elliott Advocacy family. I have been there for a long time, and there's a lot of good stuff there. If you're a traveler, you will be a smarter traveler, whether you choose the free or the paid side or both. Thank you, Chris, again for your time, buddy. Be safe.
Thank you. Bonsoir, guys.
Well, you know, and I have a long list of phone numbers and that I've been holding on to that will get you directly to upper management of multiple radio stations throughout my career, just in case you need to reach out to them for some reason. Do you have any secret lists like Chris Elliott has? Presidents and CEOs?
Yeah. I have, yes. I've been doing this a long time. So, yeah, there are people that I can call that, you know, might be a closer thing to the top. Do we need to take a commercial break here or not?
Yeah, we do. We need to tell folks that we're going to come back in a couple of minutes and we're going to talk about those consumer-friendly rules regarding airlines that apparently have been rejected.
Squash.
Bad news.
Yep.
Live and in living radio, my friends, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Okay, Mark, as we teased, let's get into it. You know, we kind of expected some of this kind of stuff was going to happen when we, whenever you have a new administration, they like to sometimes change the rules.
Well, these folks are trying to be a little bit more pro-business, and in this case, this was a group of, and you know, I really have to say that the folks in Congress had to know that this was going to happen because when they passed it, there wasn't enough time for it to go into effect before the change in administration. So it certainly gave the new people a chance to look at it. And the airlines are adamantly against it. What we're talking about here is something that would have aligned the United States a little bit more with the European Union in terms of airline responsibilities for flight cancellations and delays. The proposed rule sought compensation starting at $200 when a flight is canceled or significantly delayed because of a mechanical problem with a plane or an airline computer outage. Compensation as high as $775 was proposed for delays of 9 hours or more. That would have come handy about a month and a half ago when United had its meltdown because we got stuck overnight in Denver. So that would have been, and it was the airline's fault. Carriers fiercely opposed it. In a public comment it submitted this summer, Spirit Airlines said the rule threatened to increase operating costs for airlines and drive up ticket passengers prices for passengers, which I would think in Spirit's situation would be a good thing. Anyways, the administration has decided that the Department of Transportation has decided that we don't need these rules and that the free market will handle things. Those of you who have worked with airlines or traveled for a while know that letting the airlines make any decisions on their own is generally not a good thing for consumers. They have to keep an eye on them. Here is one thing I found online that talked about, this was just one response on one website that I read. He says, you are delayed by weather going to the airport and arrive 15 minutes after boarding and you're on your own. Your flight is left, no reimbursement of your ticket, no help, nothing. Your fault. The plane is delayed 3 hours by weather on the tarmac or because something is broken on the airplane and you miss connections, appointments, hotel bookings, etc. The airline owes you nothing and gives you nothing. Not their fault. There is no industry in the United States as one-sided as commercial aviation. That was just one person's comment. Yeah.
Well, so true.
So relief for consumers anytime soon. Sorry, gang. It's up to the airlines to be nice to you. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. What is it? Airlines for America, right?
Yes, that's their lobbying group. They didn't weigh in on this one, but I'm sure we'll hear from them sometime soon. All right, we are about to the end of another Travel Guys show. Thank you all for giving us your time today. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. Thanks for coming along. Remember, find us at TravelGuysRadio.com.